You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The Assembly passed a rule change last week allowing for a paralyzed Democratic lawmaker to phone into meetings, and it's an accommodation he requested nearly a year ago. But Democratic Representative Jimmy Anderson voted against the bill, and his fellow Democratic colleagues, they followed suit. Have you been following this? Do you think all state lawmakers should be able to phone in for meetings if they need an accommodation? Have you asked for an accommodation at your own workplace? How did it go? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jimmy Anderson represents Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District, which includes Fitchburg. Representative Anderson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, set this out for us. What does this rule change allow you to do?
So it specifically allows me to be able to call in during committee hearings to vote during those same committee hearings. And so while it wasn't everything that I requested, at least I think it's a good small step forward.
Well, a good small step forward, but you requested these rule changes a while ago. So and ultimately, you voted against them. What was going on there?
Yeah, it has been a long, frustrating journey, often filled with some degree of confusion why it has taken so long for me to get these accommodations that I ought to be guaranteed under the Americans with Disabilities Act. But and then at the end, it was bittersweet. You know, it was great that we took this step forward, but as I had asked Republican leadership when they introduced the resolution, if they included a bunch of other rules that I disagreed with that would limit the ability of the minority to be able to participate in the legislative process, I wasn't going to be able to vote for my own accommodation. And, you know, this is something that was entirely within Republican leadership's control. And I thought it was really unfortunate that we couldn't or that they wouldn't allow me to vote in support of my own resolution.
So Assembly Republicans did, though, separate the disability accommodation from the veto override rule that we were talking about earlier. Do you see that at all as a compromise here?
So I think there was some confusion as to what was accommodation and what wasn't an accommodation. I would say that the only accommodation that I agreed with was the allowing me to use the speakerphone. Now, they passed a bunch of other rules that limit the amount of time that we're on the assembly floor, but that had nothing to do with my disability or the accommodations I asked for. You know, outside of the speakerphone system, I asked Republican leadership if we could schedule our floor sessions at reasonable hours and to end overnight sessions. And their response was to basically manipulate the rules so that way the minority wouldn't have as much time on the floor to debate amendments or to pull up different kinds of bills. And what I wanted was, instead of being on the floor for 12 hours, I was hoping we could be on the floor for 2 days for 6 hours. And so it wasn't I wanted to work less. It's just that I wanted to work within reasonable hours. And so all those other rules I completely disagreed with and I couldn't vote for. And so it wasn't going to be the end of the world for them to sit there and provide a single resolution that included the speakerphone accommodation. That's something that we all could have voted for, Republicans and Democrats alike, but they just wouldn't allow that to happen.
So before last week's vote, you were considering suing to get an accommodation for your disability. Are you satisfied with the Assembly's actions, or do you still plan to pursue legal action here?
So I think when it comes to the speakerphone system, I think the issue is settled for myself. One of my other frustrations was that, you know, Republican leadership didn't include me in the drafting of the rule in any way. And so there's some real serious issues legally when it comes to the rule. Specifically, it only provides the speakerphone access for someone with a permanent disability. Now, that I qualify under that standard, but the ADA doesn't make a distinction between those that are permanently disabled and those that are not permanently disabled. And so I could see some real issues for another person going down the line.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how do these rule changes collide with the ADA? Shouldn't the legislature be following the ADA here?
100%. And what's really interesting is, you know, after speaking with my attorney at Disability Rights Wisconsin, one of her big frustrations was the fact that we voted on this at all. You know, the ADA is supposed to guarantee these rights for individuals like myself. And the idea that we would need the sign-off of the Speaker of the Assembly or for the legislature to vote on these, or excuse me, the legislature to vote on these rules, is just not compatible with the ADA as it currently is interpreted.
We're talking with State Representative Jimmy Anderson about new rule changes at the state capitol allowing lawmakers to call into meetings. Has an employer ever denied your request for an adjustment? Why did they determine that it wasn't a reasonable accommodation, and what did you do about it? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Representative Anderson, this is your second term as a state lawmaker. Why is this issue coming up to the fore right now? Why now?
Yeah, so, you know, after my first term, it's just like anybody who starts a new job. You know, I had never served in office before, and so it was a very new experience. And I'm, I guess, still considered kind of newly disabled. I've only been in my wheelchair since about 2010. And so I didn't know what my needs were, what accommodations I was going to need. And so after everything that I experienced during my first term, I learned what I needed. And so that's why I approached my Democratic leadership at the beginning of the year for when they negotiate the changes to the rules that happens at the beginning of every session. And so that's why, you know, nothing kind of came up during my first term. But having learned my needs, I approached folks during the beginning of this term. And it's just unfortunately taken months and months and months to get this to happen.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said that the Assembly has given you accommodations in the past and that you didn't make this request through the proper channels. He, you know, has accused you of political grandstanding and negotiating through the media. Where do you come down with that perspective?
You know, I'm just going to those are lies. I can't put it in any other way. You know, as the speaker has said many, many times, he can't change the rules by fiat. And that's how I understood the assembly rules as I read them. And so they needed to be negotiated between Democratic leadership and Republican leadership. And so that's why I approached Democratic leadership way back in February with my requested accommodations. And so at that time in February, I didn't approach the media. There were no stories about it. Same in March and same in April and same in May. For months and months and months, my Republican leadership denied my requested accommodations through my Democratic leadership. And not only that, but once they heard that I needed these disability accommodations, no one was sent to my office from leadership. Not a single one of my Republican colleagues came to ask if I was okay or if I got everything that I needed or what the situation was. And so this issue was left floundering until finally I grew fed up after missing a couple of committee hearings and went to the media and said, look, this is wrong. I'm being denied these accommodations, and I've been denied these accommodations for months, and something needs to be done.
You've been in a wheelchair, paralyzed for nearly a decade. Do you mind explaining the situation behind that?
Yeah, so it was back in 2010, and I was visiting my family on summer break between my second and third years of law school, and we were going to go out to celebrate my birthday. And we were heading out of town, and a drunk driver ran a stop sign at 60 miles an hour and slammed broadside into our vehicle. And I lost my mom, dad, and little brother and was paralyzed in that accident.
How are you doing with that? You know, now that the years have gone by, you've been in a wheelchair, you are working through your own paralysis and lots of rehab. How is it going?
It has its ups and downs, like anybody that is deals with a disability like mine and deals with issues around quadriplegia. There's good days and bad, good months and bad. And sometimes, you know, doing this job can be difficult for me, but it's not impossible. And I think I do a relatively good job. I've often heard from some of my Republican colleagues, or not colleagues, I say, but I've gotten some messages from time to time saying, if you can't do the job, then why don't you get out of there? Well, as I tell them, I have a better attendance record than some of my able-bodied colleagues, so I would say that they should probably go and talk to them first. But it's a you live it day by day, and for the most part, I'm healthy. I'm excited to do the job, and as long as I'm accommodated, I think I can do it really well.
What do you love about your job?
It's a really special thing. I mean, I get to meet folks from all across the state that have real passions on really specific issues that they care so much about, and I get to try to take their passions and turn it into legislation, or to give them an opportunity to have their voices heard. And I can't think of another job that allows me to do that. I remember when I tell people why it is why I ran for office, it was after I got out of rehabilitation, I started a nonprofit to help victims of drunk driving, and I fell in love with helping people. And I thought, how can I do this in a broader way? And running for office seemed like the perfect fit. And I found that it really is what gets me out of bed in the morning, makes me want to, keep putting one foot in front of the other.
We're talking with Democratic Representative Jimmy Anderson of Fitchburg following his impassioned plea he made last week to the entire assembly about an accommodation request he had made nearly a year ago. How does your workplace support people with disabilities? Where have you seen reasonable accommodations made? Has an employer ever denied your request for an adjustment? Why did they determine that it wasn't a reasonable accommodation? Join in this conversation, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we have Representative Jimmy Anderson of Fitchburg here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Assembly passing a rule change last week allowing for Anderson, who is in a wheelchair and paralyzed, to phone into meetings. But the legislation included other rule changes that Democrats opposed, and Representative Anderson ultimately voted against the accommodation bill. Do you think all state lawmakers should be able to phone into meetings? Do you have the option to work remotely at your job? How does it work out? Join in the state cap, 800-642-1234. And Representative Jimmy Anderson stays with us. Let's go back to Thursday and that speech you made on the floor of the assembly. You called the assembly together. Everyone had to sit in there, doors closed. We were just talking with our WPR State Capitol reporter, Laurel White, who was deeply moved by that moment. Take us there. What did you talk about and what impact were you trying to make?
Yeah, so I had done the unusual thing to ask everybody to come back to their desks. And I thought, after everything that I had gone through, I had, before all of this, I had sent out a letter to all of my colleagues, Democrats and Republicans alike, and had talked about, the letter had said that, we ought to be celebrating the ADA, and the idea that I need these accommodations shouldn't be a contentious one, and was hoping that everyone would sign on. And even in that letter, I talked about how the ADA was passed by George H.W. Bush, a Republican, has been championed by Bob Dole, another prominent Republican, and that we ought to be able to look past this and work together to find a solution. And all of my Democratic colleagues signed on. None of my Republican colleagues did. And I said, and so I had started from that point and kind of talked about how hurtful that was. And the reason I wanted them to sit down and listen to me was I felt that I've been ignored for a long time and they ought to hear what I have to say. And from there, I talked about what it's like to live my life as a disabled person and how difficult and arduous and sometimes painful it can be, how hurtful this entire experience had been for myself. And I had hoped to be able to kind of reach them at a human level to, we often make big speeches about policy and broad ideas, but very rarely do these issues actually impact one of the people that works in the building. And so I was hoping to be able to talk to them one-on-one as a human being.
The Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law nearly three decades ago, as you said, by President George H.W. Bush. And we had Lindsay who emailed to say, I just wanted to comment that Lindsay admires your courage. Lindsay said this shouldn't even be a discussion and believes it should be given that we accommodate you and accommodate others, and thinks the comments of if you can't do the job, he shouldn't have run are ableist and insulting. Let's take a call on this now. Joan joining us from Eau Claire. Joan, hi.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for all that you're doing, Representative Anderson. Robin Voss and these Republicans who added all these conditions into this legislation should be ashamed of themselves. Mr. Anderson deserves to be able to be accommodated in order to do his job. And Robin Voss and these Republicans have been exposed for the very uncaring and cruel people that they are. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
Representative, do you think all accommodations for people with disabilities need to be met, or are there some changes that are too difficult? Is there a line here?
Yeah, I think the law does a very good job of placing a balancing test between the interests of the individual who's disabled and the interests of the people that are going to be providing these accommodations. And so there's a reasonable standard. So, you know, if I demanded that the legislature only meet in my home, I think that most courts would look at that and say, no, that's a bit too far. That's not reasonable. But at the same time, you know, what I was asking for was to use a speakerphone system that's currently being used by the Wisconsin State Senate. So the idea that this would be unreasonable has often left me scratching my head. And so, again, there's an appropriate standard that balances the two sides, and I think it's an entirely appropriate way to handle these issues.
Let's bring in Emma now, joining us from Madison. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning. Well, the last caller and the last comment, it's just exactly what I was going to say, that I work at an agency, and there are a lot of accommodations that are made for people if they're injured on the job and need to have, you know, a different keyboard or, you know, a different type of phone or whatever it is a person needs, and it is required by the ADA, and I just am shocked that we need to have some sort of bill for something that is just so simple. And as you said, that it was something that other people have used in the legislature. And I guess the last thing I want to say is that it's just sort of Voss being Voss. There's no low that's too low. So thank you.
Yeah, Emma, appreciate the call. Representative, you know, people with disabilities are far less likely to be employed than the general population. What more do you think we can do to support them legislatively, in our day-to-day life? Where do you see openings for improvement?
Yeah, I think the idea of getting individuals with disabilities into the workplace stems from a lot of other issues around healthcare and, oddly enough, things like taxes, for instance. But I'll even use my part of my speech as an example. You know, as a disabled person, I often need round-the-clock care to help me get in and out of bed and to get to work and to essentially just live my life. And because I make more than what is would currently allow me to get access to state benefits, I have to pay for all of that out of pocket. So I literally spend tens of thousands of dollars a year out of my own pocket to do this job. And that's a choice a lot of disabled people have to make, where they either choose to be unemployed so they can get the benefits they need in order to get the care that they can afford, or if they take the job, they can only take a job that would pay enough to cover those additional expenses. And that's not often the case for individuals with disabilities. And so we're often in this kind of like dark gray space where we're not able to get the work that we want to be able to do. And so being able to provide that help would go a long way to helping folks like myself with my particular disability get into the workplace.
One other thing we want to ask you, Democratic Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling said last week that Republican leadership was slow walking the legislative session to make Governor Evers' impact, quote, as small as possible. Do you agree with that assessment of the minority leader there of what's happening in the Capitol right now?
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, I've only been here for two sessions, but I will say that I think anyone this session should feel embarrassed to be cashing their checks from the state taxpayers. We do so little. I've had so few committee hearings and so few bills being passed. And so the idea that there aren't people in the state of Wisconsin that need help or need changes to the law, or that we shouldn't be doing everything we can to be helping folks and using every moment that we have during this session to make positive progress, I think is an entirely inappropriate way to be doing our jobs. And so, yeah, I do believe that the Republican leadership has decided to do as little as possible to not give Governor Evers the chance to flex his mandate.
Representative Anderson, we only have a few seconds left, but with your speech behind you and with at least one accommodation made, what do you hope for going forward from your colleagues at the Capitol?
I just hope that they heard what I had to say and that they take a little bit more time to stop thinking about issues in such a partisan lens and start realizing that we're all human beings and we all need to work together to do the good, do good work for the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jimmy Anderson is a state representative from Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District, which includes Fitchburg. Just ahead, we explore the year in movies and find out what should be on our watch list this fall, heading into the big Thanksgiving season of fall movies. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us for the State Capitol Report here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.